You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We're at season 13, episode 19. And tonight we are going to bring you the joys of a semi. Not just one semi, but two semis. And as we all know, everyone loves a semi, or more so, what happens after a semi and what it leads to. So, I'm John, I'm your host for this evening, and that was not a Manscaped advert because I'm not partnered with him anymore. We're joined by Josh, Rangers fan. How you doing?
How you doing, John?
Good. That would have been good for Manscaped back in the day, wouldn't it?
Look, there's a big semi coming up near my vicinity. So, looking forward to it.
Well, you get two big semis near your vicinity because of where you stay, but I know
two big semis.
Didn't you cope with that the weekend?
I'll need to take it.
Also from the regulars, we've got Aberdeen fan Robbie. How you doing?
It's been a bit of a brutal week to be an Aberdeen fan, but chavin' away, good to be here.
It's all a bit of that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And then representing the Hibs, we've got Charlie. How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How yourself?
Aye, good. Aye. I'll try and be as neutral as possible tonight, but we'll see what happens. And then Hearts fan Graham, you all right?
All good, mate. All good. Glad to be on again.
Yes, good to have you on. So we've got a good wee panel. Obviously, we've got the semi-final. So Saturday sees Aberdeen play Hibs. Sunday sees Rangers play Hearts. There was a wee bit of a preview on Sunday with Rangers Hearts. Went a wee bit different to maybe what both of you expected? Or I'll go with you, Graham, first of all. Because I know, going by Twitter recently, and not just Twitter recently, but most of this season, to be fair, you've not been pleased with Hearts' performances. You feel it was a bit better yesterday? It give you an indication of what might happen this Sunday?
Yeah, I had very low expectation going into that game yesterday because our record at Ibrox is brutal. We've not won a league game there since 2012. And after what happened last week, I was hoping we might learn lessons. And to be fair, the first half, I thought we were actually decent. You know, we get the goal from Shankland. And I thought we actually, when we got the ball, we used it quite well. I thought Benny Wieringham was really good. I thought the tactics actually worked quite well, playing three at the back. And then kind of second half, I don't think Rangers really were creating that much in the first half. Xander Clark didn't have a lot to do. Second half, we kind of sat a bit deeper. Again, injuries are not helping. You know, the fire goes off in the first half and we've got to make a change straight away, which kind of disrupts us a little bit. But second half, we didn't really do much going forward, but we were defending quite well. Again, I don't think Rangers were really playing that well. I thought they were very, I'm not going to say flat, but they weren't playing with a lot of pace and a lot of tempo. And I thought we were going to get a win for a change. And obviously then we gave away a daft penalty. And I know that a lot of my fellow Hearts fans have been saying, oh, it's cheating, it's not a penalty. I said it last night, it's a penalty. You've got VAR there. There's no way that's going to get overturned. Haring's just daft. He's got no need to make the challenge on Goulson. Keep your hands doing. It's a daft, daft challenge. And from then on in, as soon as Rangers got the goal back, and then 9 minutes goes up, you knew it was coming. You knew Rangers were going to score after that. And they had the ascendancy. It's a great ball in again from Tavernier. But again, I think Frankie Kent's got to do better. Takes a couple of steps back, he wins that ball. It's a good header from Danilo, don't get me wrong. But we've got to defend that better. But there were more encouraging signs than I expected. I'm still not overly confident about next week, but I'm probably a bit more optimistic than I was before the game. I think we've got a chance to get at Rangers. I can see Naismith playing the very same formation again, three at the back again, which does work. But Rangers will dominate the ball next week. We've got to have a threat going forwards. I thought first half we had that, second half we didn't. But yeah, I'm more encouraged than I was, than what I expected we'd be at the start of the game yesterday.
Yeah. From a Rangers perspective, Josh, obviously they had the tie in Prague on Thursday. But looking at yesterday, some folk making a claim for a place in the semi-final.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about Danilo, yeah. There's players that have played themselves out the team. There are players that have went out and probably will be out injured for the semi-final. And there are players that have done themselves no harm. The thing, yeah, I think Rangers were pretty pedestrian throughout most of the game yesterday. I think Hearts scoring the goal. I think if Tavernier scores the first pen, I think Rangers probably go on and dominate the second half and then win convincingly. But they huffed and, I mean, he didn't score the pen, and they huffed and puffed. And, it's kind of sliding doors moments, isn't it? You know, if Peter Haring hadn't brought down Connor Goldson, what could have happened? We could actually be, it would have been 8 points behind Celtic, wouldn't it? Instead, we're 5 points behind Celtic. So obviously over the moon that we won the game. I think Danilo has now played at number nine. To my memory, on two occasions I've seen Danilo play as an outright number nine for Rangers. One was away against, was that the Aberdeen game? He scored and then he went off injured. That was when he injured his face. That was at Ross County away. Might have been Ross County away. 5 or 6 weeks ago. Yesterday when he came on for Dessers. So I think he's probably played his way into the team, all being well with his face, hopefully. Lammers, you know, John, I've defended Lammers quite a bit on this pod. I'm really struggling. He does a lot of good footballing things, but then he does everything that a striker needs to do terribly, you know, like take a touch, score goals, hit shots, you know, final kind of key moments in attacking play. So I think
we are saying though, Josh, in terms of when you look at his recent record, because he's only ever had really one good season in his career as an attacking player, and that was a good few years ago.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's where you kind of question the money getting spent. Could it have been spent better? I mean,
yeah, and that's the autopsy for that. Yeah, that's the autopsy for this season, John, is how Beale spent the money in the summer, because he's bought several duds, you know, Dessers till right now, nut Lammers. I just don't see it. I've defended him a lot, but I don't see it. See if you're meant to be a striker or a centre forward or whatever he is, and you can't score goals. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of players that strikers that don't score goals, right? And they're great players that they bring in other players into play and all that sort of thing. But Lammers doesn't do any of that. You know, so what else is he good for? Nothing. Cifuentes out injured, obviously, but I've not seen it. Butland's been the only one that's probably been a rip roaring success.
I'm not a fan of him.
I'm not a fan of him. I don't know. But I think there are players that have played their way into the team, the players that have played their way out of the team. It was, in a way, it was probably good for us. I'd probably go the other opposite direction to Graham. I think Hearts will have gotten a measure of us, but I think we will also, one, have got the measure of Hearts, and two, that will have been a real scare for us. Well, it was a real scare for us. And that can't happen at the weekend. It cannot happen. We cannot lose this League Cup. We've got to win this League Cup, because if we don't win it, then I think we're unlikely to win any other silverware this season. And it's just a disaster.
I mean, something that was very noticeable for Rangers yesterday, I said that about Hearts before as well, numerous times, is the real lack of pace on that side. The only player that I think has got real pace for me is Matondo, and obviously he's not fit. Seema's got a bit of pace, but looking at the Rangers team yesterday, there wasn't really that frightening pace that's going to worry Hearts. I'm assuming it'll be the same for Sunday. So I think if Hearts get the tactics right, which hopefully they do, I think what we tried to do yesterday was basically make Rangers play through us, and they couldn't really do it, and they had nothing really out wide. The lack of pace in that Rangers team was very noticeable for me yesterday.
Yeah, and a lot of and a lot of that's to do with the signings that Beale made. You know, Beale made a lot of signings to suit a particular system, or you know, suit a particular system that he wanted to play. And after you know three or four or five games at the start of the season, it became evident that that system wasn't going to work, particularly against kind of back fives and low blocks in domestic games. And this is what we've been left with. We've been, like you say, Graham, we've been left with Matondo, who has a bit of pace. Sima, I think that, and John, this is part of the reason I don't like Sima, is because people tell me he's fleeing, but then I look at him and I see him run, I don't think he's not that fast. You know, maybe it's his running style or something that I'm not seeing it, but I never look at him and think, God, he's got a ton of pace on him. And then I don't think he's particularly, you know, he's not particularly agile in terms of weaving in and out. So, you know, if what does he do then? You know, he's one that I'm not personally all that sure of. But, if you know, if he scores a win at the weekend, then fine. I think that was a real scare for us. We went up against a poorly managed Hearts team and we narrowly get 3 points at home. Hearts were in a bad way. Or they are in a bad way. You know, I mean, if they'd have got the win at the weekend there, it would have been a disaster for us. So we need to be really, really mindful this weekend, Graham's saying about, you know, the Hearts will probably line up with the back five again. We've got to find some way to get through that back five then, you know. I do think that having Cantwell and Raskin back has made a difference lately, and obviously the change of manager. I think Philippe Clement has made a few changes that are positive so far, but it's not going to happen overnight. And Raskin's out for this weekend, so we're going to have to rely on somebody else to come up with something against this Hearts team that we really couldn't last weekend. Because I think, to my memory, I mean, you know, the penalty was a penalty, and that's, you know, that's okay, fine. The winner, I think Hearts had kind of went to a back four at that point. I know Sibic had went off. Whether or not they were playing a back five, you know, with various players filling in, I can't really remember from looking at the replay when I watched the highlights today. But yeah, we're going to have to find something better than that yesterday.
Have you seen our identity yet under Clement, or is it too early in terms of, because obviously the European game was a backs and one performance, very fortunate to get a point, which point maybe that could be kind of vital in the grand scheme of things. But Hibs, I mean, Charlie, obviously, Clement's first game was against Hibs. Did you see a different Rangers in that game, or was it just the fact that Hibs maybe were a bit too positive in terms of the way they were trying to play?
You always get a new manager bounce. We've seen that under Montgomery. You know, we went, what, 5 under him, 6 in total, unbeaten. So I think you can probably judge Clement after, well, a transfer window or two. I think he's got a, for lack of a better phrase, pish with the cock he's got just now. Like Josh said, there's been some absolute duds brought in the summer for Rangers, which has ultimately led to Beale's demise. But I think they've still got a good enough squad to probably win the League Cup. I think they do need to win a trophy this season to. But I think it is. It looks like a different Rangers. I don't know if under Beale they would have won that game yesterday. I don't think under Beale they would have beat Hibs as convincingly as they did. So I think, it'll be interesting to see maybe in a year's time how convincingly they're still beating teams, or even that first Old Firm on the 30th of December. That'll be a real test for both teams, but I think more so Rangers, because if they can keep the pressure on until then and then win that and they're 2 points behind, then the title race really hots up. But I think the early signs are probably promising, but I think it's still too early to say that it's a new Rangers when it's still the same duds of players they've got.
It's a good point, Charlie. And you know, it's not one that actually considered before you said it right now. I agree. There is no chance we win that game, particularly the one against Hearts. There is no chance that we win that game under Beale. So, yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, Charlie picks up on Clement getting a year, but that's an assumption based on what's been happening recently. I mean, how much... You're obviously saying, Josh, and much as we don't like to hear it, Rangers are clear favourites for the tournament, right, in the moment, due to their size and stature and that. If, though, they were not to win, I mean, that puts a bit of pressure on Clement early doors, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, if you don't get results... If you don't get the results at the top end of the SPFL, and I'm not just talking about Celtic and Rangers, but you know all four clubs represented tonight and Celtic, their fan bases demand results. More so Rangers and Celtic, you need to win every single game. However, Clement will get some time, and if the fans see, I don't think like it's a disaster if we don't win this cup. However. I think that Clement will be given a bit of leeway in terms of the squad that he inherited from Beale. Look, everybody recognises the problems Beale has caused. You know, Beale was a fraud. I think he was quite arrogant. He brought a lot of these players in my view, you know, don't know him at all, right? But I think he probably brought a lot of these players in thinking that he could, you know, he could mould them, you know, he could change them into players and you know, Lammers would be the perfect example of that. You know, questions were raised by everybody when we signed Lammers. You know, I think, look at this guy's record's terrible, you know, and we spent £3.5 million on him. So, you know... And so far his record's been basically like it was at Sampdoria and at Atalanta. So yeah, I think he'll get some time. But like you say, if he loses big results and the performances don't improve, particularly against Celtic, I think that's why Gerrard got so long. Gerrard didn't win the league for three years. But he got the length of time that he did because he got the results against Celtic, right? He started playing against Celtic and he started winning against Celtic, and the fans could see that there was a competitive team there that were going to be able to that were really going to be able to challenge for the title, and eventually it did. You know, we won the 55th title. So I think he will get time, but the performances have got to be there. And the big losses can't be there. I think he'd be afforded a slip up or two, but knowing the big moments.
Yeah, Robbie, you've been waiting very patiently. Obviously, as an Aberdeen fan, it's nice to see Rangers not doing so well. Having a new manager. What's your thoughts on the game on Sunday? Looking ahead to Hearts and Rangers.
I think it'll probably be pan out similar to what we just seen at the weekend, because as Josh said, for the most part, well, as Graham alluded to as well, I thought Rangers, despite they should on paper be winning that game, but they're quite pedestrianised. They've got players like, as you say, Sam Lammers, one goal in 20 for Rangers so far. You turn into Scott Wright off the bench on the 63rd minute. This is the guy that was supposed to be going to Turkey or the Middle East in the summer, so an outcast is suddenly your best option off the bench, excluding Danilo, who obviously scores the winner coming on just after the break. And then I'm interested, Josh, can we come in, but the fact that young Ross McCausland, 20 years old, he is now getting some game time as well off the bench. It's good to see that a youth player who has started well for the B team is getting minutes. But I think it'll be a tightly contested game. I know Hamden can sometimes make or break players. People can freeze under that big occasion in the Hamden National Stadium. But there's no reason why, and I'm not saying this because I don't like Rangers, but there's no reason why Hearts couldn't shock Rangers, because they've got enough ammo there on paper to do so. It's just a concern for me. Graham might come in on this, that Hearts have only scored 9 goals in the league this season. And I feel like, I know Shanklin was injured for the bit, but other players have probably got to step up to the plate as well and take chances and maybe approach it a bit. If they do get ahead, keep going and not sit back, because Rangers, and they're likely to have maybe more of the crowd, then they can be pushed on. And you've seen that on Saturday. One goal goes in, the Ibrox roar, and I'm pretty sure a lot of Rangers fans that spoke to me said that was a big factor in Hearts looking shell-shocked, getting a lot deeper, and then Tavernier obviously playing an excellent ball to Danilo. So there's a lot of factors in it, but I would just like, for the Scottish game, after watching the last televised game yesterday, which was atrocious, I'd like to see just a good spectacle in both the semi-finals.
Liam, you want to pick up on the point that Robbie made about the kind of goal scoring at Hearts? Lack of goals, I should say.
Yeah, it is a worry. I think I posted that on Twitter a few days ago as well about the lack of goals in the league. We'd only scored, I think it was about 8 until yesterday. So it's not great. A lot of players have got to step up. I have had a lot of Hearts fans saying that Shanklin's not at it this season, which for me is harsh, because he's having to drop a lot deeper and he's not been getting a lot of decent chances. And now he's scored in the last 2 weeks against Celtic and Rangers. He's still a massive threat. And for me, that was one of his best games for us yesterday, this season so far. I thought he was brilliant yesterday. His link-up play, his hold-up play, his goal. He was outstanding yesterday. But more folk have got to add more goals. I think we're looking at Kenny Vargas needing to get that first goal. Once he gets one goal, I think he'll be fine. We're obviously still missing guys like Barry Mackay going forward. Yutaro Oda didn't get on yesterday. He was stripped, but Civic ended up going off injured. We ended up yesterday playing Cammy Devlin at right wing-back, which is not his position at all. So, yeah, we do need to add more goals, and it is a bit of a concern. But, I mean, going into that game next week, I am more optimistic about going into this game than I was at the start of the game yesterday. But we do need to add more goals. I mean, I'm still not convinced by Stephen Naismith, as I've said that numerous times. But there was more encouraging signs yesterday in that first half. And we've got to take that forward now going into next game. But we've got Livingston on Wednesday, but we've got to take that forward going into next week. Because we could give Rangers a hard game. We could give them a hard game. Because, as I said, I don't think Rangers were great yesterday. And I think they are very one-paced. But we've got to, like I said, I know that Rangers are going to muster the ball next week. But we've got to use the ball well. And if we get a chance, we've got to take it. We took it yesterday. And I genuinely don't think, if we don't give away the penalty, I think we'll win that game. Because I couldn't see Rangers scoring apart from that. But there was more encouragement yesterday. But we need to keep that going next week.
Okay. Graham, can I ask you, Hearts, sorry. Hearts, they're not having a particularly good season by any metric. Looking at their squad, I think, honestly, they do have, outside of the old firm, I do think they've probably got one of the best on-paper squads in the country. When you look at the pedigree of so many of their players and so many of the players that have been, you know, in the Premiership over the years and then, you know, some of the newer faces that they've brought in. It's a big question, but what do you think the problem is with them this season? What do you think is just no clicking with Hearts this season?
The coaching, basically. And I'm glad you said that about the squad. Because I've had this discussion numerous times with mates of mine as well. One of them yesterday after the game messaged me, as a fellow jambo like myself, and he messaged me to say that squad's not good enough. I disagree with that. I think that squad is more than good enough. I think there's a lot of good players in there. He also said that Frankie Kent is really poor. I don't agree. I don't think he was great yesterday, but I think he's a really good player. I think there's a lot of good quality players in that squad. And I've said numerous times, I think it is the best squad outside the old firm. But for me, it's how they're getting coached. I think at times we look okay in spells, but really poor in other spells. Sometimes Naismith makes really good substitutions. Other times they're really poor. I just think, and I've said this numerous times, a better coach gets more out of that squad. And as it happens today, the guy that I thought we were going to go after, Marty Cifuentes from Hammarby, has now got the QPR job in England. So their board sees something that we don't, obviously. So I just think a better coach gets more out of that squad. And I generally think these next couple of games, I think Naismith's under pressure because we're now sitting seventh. By the time we play on Wednesday, Hibs Ross County play tomorrow, assuming Hibs win that, which I think they will, then they'll be above us. So he's under real pressure just now because a lot of Hearts fans are still not convinced by him, like me. Yesterday was more encouraging, but we still got beat. So I genuinely think a better manager and a proper manager gets more out of that squad.
See, just on that point as well, just quickly, I know Robbie, you want to come in, but the coaching thing, something that we might come up with, we'll come on to Aberdeen as well, but see at Hearts, in terms of the kind of players, is a leadership on the pitch, because I don't see Shankland as a captain, right? But I don't really see anyone else there that would be up to the job.
As baffling as this sounds, and I'm not a massive fan of it, because I don't like goalkeepers being captains, but Craig Gordon's the leader in that team, and I do think he has missed, he is back. He won't play on Sunday, but he is back, thankfully. And I also think we're missing Craig Halkett as well at the centre of that defence. He's a talker. I do think Frankie Kent is a talker. Whether he's captain material, I don't know. But I think Shankland, for me, I love Shankland, but I think he's got a lot of pressure on trying to score goals, trying to be the captain. It probably will be better for him when Gordon comes back and the captaincy comes off him. But I think there are players in that squad that are probably captain material. I love Cammy Devlin. You know, he's the guy that gets stuck in about it. But I think Shankland's under a lot of pressure. And I think he'll be relieved when Gordon comes back, actually. But yeah, I mean, there are times I watch Hearts and I think, who's actually taking us by the scruff of the neck and saying, look, we need to sort this out on the pitch here? Because yes, coaches can do certain things behind the scenes, but when they get on that park, the players are making mistakes like we have been every single week. Somebody's then got to say, right, we need to sort this out on the pitch here because the manager can't do it. And I just think there's a, and I think I said this a couple of days ago on Twitter as well, there's a real disconnect between the board and the fans. Now, there was apparently a shareholders' dinner a few days ago at Tynecastle, and it was very heated. You know, Andrew McKinley, the CEO, was having a go at some of the fans for some of the questions that they asked, which is not a good look. So there's a real disconnect between the fans and the board. And, you know, Josh kind of alluded to it earlier. It's a result of business. If you don't win in games, you're going to be under pressure. And I think now Wednesday is an even bigger game than next Sunday, because if we lose to Livingston, you can guarantee that Hearts fans are going to be absolutely furious.
Hey, Robbie, you wanted to come in there just before I was...
Yeah, just to pick up on what Graeme's saying there about Naismith being under pressure with Hearts being in seventh at the moment, I think it's just a reoccurring theme seen yesterday, Stephen McLean relieved of his duties at St Johnstone and after ultimately throwing them under the bus in his interview post-match. But he was a rookie manager that fell into the role. Naismith, that's happened at Tynecastle. Then Robson, which a poll today had 75% of Aberdeen fans from 2000 wanting him out. He was a rookie manager under 18's boss that's fallen into place. Do you think these jobs in the top flight in the SPFL is just too much for them, perhaps? And these guys should be learning their trade lower down the leagues first before they're getting a chance at these big clubs, or even include St Johnstone in that.
I mean, there's an argument to say that maybe it's player power too much in Scotland.
I've got to say, John, I agree with Robbie completely. I've said this before. Look, about the amount of clubs in the country that were given their top jobs to rookie managers who kind of just ended up falling into the role. You know, you had Stephen Hamill at Motherwell, right? Failed, sacked. You had Liam Fox at Dundee United, failed, relegated, right? He didn't get them relegated, right? But the damage was done, right?
Cathro,
yeah, Cathro, another one a few years back, but
Sean Maloney.
Sean Maloney, yep, rookie, right? You've got
Glass.
Stephen Glass, right? Michael Beale, aye. No, but it's a recurring theme, right? And you've now got Barry Robson and Stephen Naismith who are underperforming with two of the biggest clubs in the country. And I don't think either manager is long for this world, because I don't think, to be honest, a club like Hearts or a club like Aberdeen should be appointing the youth coach. You know, Stephen Naismith was coaching the under-18s, so was Barry, or the under-19s or whatever, and so was Barry Robson, but they know. So how on earth have clubs of this size, with those kind of budgets and that kind of following, not had the gusto to appoint a proper, established manager. I mean, look, their Hibs have went and appointed Nick Montgomery, and we'll come to Hibs, but I think, Hibs have looked better already under Nick Montgomery, in all manners, albeit, it's kind of heart in your hands type stuff if they're playing like that against the Old Firm, but they've looked much better, with a proper manager with a bit of a pedigree.
No, I agree with that, what you're saying, Josh, with teams like Hibs thinking out of the box. And Aberdeen fans, I know we're going to come on to them in more depth soon, but they'll be like, after every manager's dismissed, oh, who would we get in? Name a shortlist or won't attract anyone. You all are from different, support different clubs, but Aberdeen and Hearts, Hibs, Celtic Rangers, the big clubs. And I'm sure Aberdeen could have attracted a decent enough established manager. Like Barry Robson, he might have played good football at under 18s, but his actual record was really poor. So, I know because it's hindsight, because John and other Aberdeen fans listening might say, well, his interim period initially did go really well with that 7 games unbeaten. But the red flags were coming for me 6-0, I think, on the final day of the season. A really poor performance at Tynecastle post-split, and then it's been European capitulations that was so avoidable. So these managers shouldn't be used as a training ground at a club like Aberdeen or even Hearts, because Graham could probably say this, it wasn't a good look. Frankie McAvoy having to take the team in Europe for Hearts, like that shouldn't be a situation that Hearts or Midlothian need to be in.
I mean, Robbie and me have a joke now. Again, now after a game, if Aberdeen lose it, there's a game of bingo in terms of what Robinson will say in terms of excuses. I'm guessing. I mean, at Hearts as well. I'm guessing Nathan has got a few lines that always come out when Hearts lose.
Yeah,
What
it's
can
a
you
bit like,
blame everyone but himself?
Hunter Robert Nielsen as well. He did the same thing, and that's why I just think that a better manager. I mean, even you listen to Naismith after the game yesterday, he's talking about the penalty, but as I keep on saying, it was a penalty. If that's at the end of the park, if that's Goldson on Haring, I'm raging if that's not given. You've just got to own it and say, do you know what? Haring made a daft mistake. It's finished. We move on now. But yeah, I just think the whole Stephen Naismith thing could be so much avoided. We've had probably the easiest run of fixtures. Start of the season when it came out, we had a very, I'm not saying it was to be disrespectful, we had an easy run of fixtures before we played Hibs, Celtic and Rangers. We've won three league games out of the first 10, and that for Hearts is not acceptable. And that's why I think Wednesday's game against Livingston is massive. I think it'll be a It won't be pretty, but we've got to win it. I think it's a massive, massive game. And I think as well next week on Sunday, if we don't win, and I really hope we do, but if we play well, then fair enough. But I want to be in the final of the League Cup, like Josh does. But I just want to see better performances and players that play in the right positions. The one thing I will say about Naismith, though, he has been slightly unfortunate with the injuries he's had. He's not really had a settled team. He's not had a fully fit squad. So, but I don't think. And you can clip me up for this because I've said this before as well. By the time we play Hibs on the 27th of December, I've said this already. I don't think he'll be the manager by that point. I think he'll be gone by then.
See what I was saying earlier about the kind of player power kind of thing? Well, obviously Naismith has been a player recently in time, so does it become harder for the players to listen to him because or detach himself from being he was a pal, now he's coach?
I don't think it should be. I think Ed Henning should have more respect for him because of the fact that he has played the game and he's played at a high level. He's played in the English Premiership. He's scoring hat-tricks against Chelsea. They should be respecting him. And the one thing I thought when Naismith came in that we would get is a real passion and energy. And I think for the 7 games last season when he came in, we had that and we've not really seen that since this season. I've not really looked at any performance and thought, yeah, that was really encouraging. There's been moments in games where I've thought, yeah, that's been okay. But we've not had the 90-minute game yet. I hope that's next Sunday. But we've not had the 90-minute game yet. And I just think that too many times for me this season, we've started games so poorly. Yesterday was better, but we still don't have 3 points. And that's the frustration for me because I think we could have won that game yesterday if Harry doesn't give the penalty away. But I want any manager that comes to the Hearts to do well. You know, I don't want Naismith to get sacked if he's doing well. But I just keep saying that I just don't think it's going to work.
So basically, it's not if he gets sacked, it's when, in your eyes.
I think so. But then I'll be proved wrong, because I don't know if Joel Savage, Andrew McKinley and that will have the balls to sack him, because if they did, they'd have to admit they got it wrong. And my worry is that if he then gets sacked, we'll just then put Leo Fox in charge, who ironically is doing better with the B team than what Naismith was.
All right, so far the game. So why are all these clubs going for that? Is it the cheap option? What these managers, is that the problem?
My view, John, is that it's complete short termism. They get them, they sack a manager, and they give it to some kind of young and experienced manager for a few weeks, just while they weigh up their options. Maybe that new manager gets a bit of a bounce. Barry Robson certainly did. Stephen Naismith did to an extent. And then, they look at the kind of expenses of war and they say, do you know what? See if let's take Barry Robson. See if Barry Robson could continue this. We'd save ourselves a fortune here, and they install it. And it's, I'm not, it's a disaster. It's a disaster, right? But, I'm not going to say it's a disaster, because Barry Robson could still turn that around. You don't know, right? But I think it's highly unlikely that he's going to be able to turn that around. So from that basis, I'm saying it's a disaster.
I think if you look at Aberdeen's next three fixtures, they're horrendous. The run that they've got.
Well, it definitely is. Looking at the next 10 fixtures, Graham, when you include having Pauk Helsinki away in the Conference League, and Antwerp Frankfurt at home, but all games that could be damaging to the morale as it is. Semi-final, but you don't know what's going to happen. And then today, Stuart Catterwell saying that Barry Robson's comments have fired the Motherwell team up, and they're on the back of, five games out a win, but it was a great comeback against Dundee at the weekend. So you look at it and think to yourself, when are Aberdeen going to start picking up a win? Because they have a demoralising defeat in Greece. They can't dwell on it because they've got to go to Celtic Park, a place that they never historically do well in. So I am very, I know, Graham, you can be pessimistic about Naismith, but I like to back any Aberdeen manager, but I just don't see it in Robson to turn it around. His snippy comments to the media also don't help. And as me and John would say, the amount of time he says frustrating makes me frustrated.
You knew straight away after the Kilmarnock game, right? First thing that's going to be mentioned is a pitch. Bingo. There's that. Straight away. Need to freshen up the team, which he said the same time the last Sunday after the defeat. Need to freshen up. That's on me. Yeah, well, see if you know it's on you. Like, sure, you don't make the same mistake twice. You learn from the first time. Charlie, you must be sitting here as the most confident person out of the lot of us in the podcast tonight. Going into the weekend.
I wasn't confident until 4:45 on Saturday, but I'm very confident now. I say that, and Hibs will end up getting beat tomorrow, and that'll be all confident shot. But I think Hibs are probably every right to be confident going into the weekend. Obviously, it's a massive game tomorrow. It feels funny saying that against Ross County, but it is, because if we win, we go up to fourth, which obviously after Wednesday's games will even the table out again. But it gives us a bit of confidence booster holding Celtic, which I think it's just St Johnstone that's done that this season, or maybe Dundee, whoever took points off them at Celtic Park. But I think it's a good time to play Aberdeen in the semi-final. Obviously beat them at Pittodrie earlier in the season under David Gray. So I am looking forward to it. Hopefully book our place into another final.
Aye, I mean, obviously at the weekend, Hibs had to play a different way to get us out against Celtic. But I mean, expected on Saturday that Hibs are going to be a team that's going to come at us for Aberdeen. Go for it. But on that, so far this season, Robbie, our best performance, Aberdeen's best performances have been against teams who have more of the ball, are the better team. So could that potentially at least help Aberdeen a bit?
Yeah, it's funny because for all me saying I just don't think Robson's going to cut it, Aberdeen do perform best. We've seen them narrowly defeated in Frankfurt against the recent Europa League champions. We've seen them should have at least got a draw against Palk, who are a top team in Greece, and beat Rangers away. So when they play this system with one up top and five at the back, it seems to work and let the other team come at them and catch them on the break. And if Aberdeen do that against Hibs, it wouldn't surprise me if they win. But the problem is, we're not playing these games 8 times out of 10 in a season. So if you're not winning the games against the likes of Kilmarnock, Livingston, St Mirren's, then you need a plan B. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, because obviously Hibs have got the likes of Ewan, Boyle, who didn't really get as much sniff against Celtic. I say Marshall had to be on top of form, and Bashiri put himself about a few times to block shots, but Celtic obviously weren't at their very best. But I would say Aberdeen, I think Robson will, because Duke's been anonymous all season. I don't know why he's persisting playing him. I think Aberdeen are better with Miofsky as the sole striker, and let Hibs come at them, and then Aberdeen, when they need to attack, get bodies forward and up supporting Miofsky, and in his form, he'll hopefully take the chances. But I'm sure Charlie would be confident in his strikers, such as Vente, Fondra, Boyle, to take their chances as well.
There's a possibility, Charlie, that Boyle starts through the middle on Saturday.
I would hope he would go Lafondra and Vente and play Boyle and Ewan on the wings. He mixed it up on Saturday. He played Gier on the right-hand side, Ewan on the left, and Boyle through the middle, which...
That's the reason why I asked, like, just when I was kind of thinking, it was
a strange one. I'm starting Gier, but I thought he actually played all right. There's obviously a player in there if Montgomery's starting him, but I think you've got to go with your best 11. I'd be bringing Hanlon back in. As much as Rocky probably was one of our better performers, I think in these big games you need to start your most experienced players as well. So I'd be putting Hanlon and Fish in there. I think they'll be looking to take care of Miofsky, and then whoever else is on their game for Aberdeen, you're hoping that they can stop any form of attack and a routine victory. But it's Hibs we're talking about, so I'm not entirely sure what Hibs will turn up.
Probably this would be the case for all of us, but a mixed record at Hampden as well over the last few seasons with League Cup.
Aye, we weren't at Hampden at all last season, which was very rare for Hibs. I got a bit sick of going there every year to watch us, but it'll be nice to be back. But I think the League Cup's probably one we've not done too well in semi-finals at Hampden. The Scottish Cup, we're either winning the semi-final or narrowly losing it. But my League Cup, I can't actually remember the last time we won a League Cup semi-final. It was probably...
against Rangers, and Boyle scored a hat-trick.
That's right. That was actually the last one we were in. But before that, it was probably 2016. So we don't really have a good record in those big games at Hampden in the League Cup anyway. But aye, I think when the draw was made, Aberdeen was the one every Hibs fan wanted, because we wanted to avoid Hearts, because we've never beat Hearts at Hampden. It's probably a record I want to write at some point. But Rangers as well, you were hoping that Beale would still be in play for this, because you've got a better chance. But aye, I think Aberdeen was probably the draw that all Hibs fans wanted, and probably vice versa as well. Aberdeen fans probably wanted Hibs over the other two as well.
You'd probably say it's a good omen, potentially, not to get ahead of myself as an Aberdeen fan, considering the recent form, but it will be 10 years this year since Aberdeen did last win the Scottish League Cup, which was, in fact, the last silverware, that 4-2 penalty win over Inverness. Our record, obviously, semi-final in the League Cup against Rangers, lost an extra time. Captain Anthony Stewart at the time got sent off. That probably turned the game. Aberdeen played pretty well, considering Jim Goodwin was the manager at that point. But the previous two seasons, out in the round of 16. So it's a big carrot dangling there for both sides, I think, to have another Hampden final in that day out for the fans. And you want to just get that one step closer to silverware. And for 90 minutes, form can go out the window. You could be bottom of the league and turn up. And as we've seen with St Johnstone, I know they wasn't exactly bottom at the time, but you never know who's got to win a cup or win on the day. So I would like to see Aberdeen just kind of show that fight and passion. And with Graeme Shinnie, he can be a bit Jekyll and Hyde, a bit like Hibbs, actually, Graeme Shinnie. But when he's on his day and dominating that midfield, I think Aberdeen stand a really good chance.
I think, listen, it'll be a great spectacle. I think the fact that we're on first is good as well. You know, I think it gives, hopefully, Hearts and Rangers something to live up to. I think, you know, if we see a four-goal thriller, then I think, you know, it subliminally will probably make Hearts and Rangers up their game a bit. So I think I'm excited for both semi-finals. Obviously, I'll be watching Sunday's one a wee bit closer if Hibs get through, but I think I'm just excited to watch it. I think, you know, I don't know what way it's going to go. It's one of those semi-finals that can probably go either way. Obviously, I'm hoping it goes my team's way. You'll be hoping it goes your team's way, Robbie and John, but I think it'll be a great game to watch for the neutral.
Yeah, a bit like the one in 2017, you think, that when Rooney scored after like 16 seconds, and I thought, oh, this has got to be Aberdeen's day, and it did turn out in the end, but my God, they made it hard for themselves. But that was a five-goal filler, and for a neutral, it's sort of games you do want to see it happening. So I'd certainly take that, and it going back with Dan McGregor, or maybe this time a Paul Hanlon late on goal.
Listen, I'm hoping Hibs are only 1-0 down within 60 seconds this time, but I think the first goal.
Still get into your seat.
I think the first goal is probably crucial in this one. I think both teams are probably subject at the back, and I think if one team can get an early, maybe half an hour goal, then I think it's going to be hard for the other one to break them down. So I think the first goal, like in most semi-finals, the first goal is really crucial.
Yeah, the interesting thing, Charlie, is we're talking about Hibs and all the creativity that they have. Robbie, at Aberdeen, issue one of many this season is a lack of creativity. Now, the player that can give that bit of creativity, Leighton Clarkson, is out of form or whatever's going on. The creativity is not coming from the wing backs. So what happens on Saturday? Does Clarkson come back into the team? Suppose it could all depend on what happens midweek, which is crazy. I mean, isn't it crazy that we've got these semi-finals next weekend and we've got a full midweek fixture? Who thinks that? Who plans that? Like, stupid. You all agree?
Ridiculous. But John, going on what you're saying there about the creativity in Aberdeen's side, we went from a previous squad on the Goodwin, which we had plenty of wingers, likes of Matty Kennedy and Conor McLennan off the top of my head, got released over summer, and there was others that we had in the squad, whereas
Watkins
now...
Right.
Yeah, Watkins, yeah, as well. We seem to have, like, abundance of wingers, and Hayes was a year younger in on form now. I don't really know why Hayes is even involved in the first team, but that's just my personal opinion. He's probably good to have him on the place doing his coaching badges, but in terms of creativity, we've got a sticky toffee pudding loving Dutchman who we paid decent money for, who's just not in the squad, not even in the European squad. It's just really baffling. I know people have said he didn't play well in the reserve game, but if you weren't getting a chance and just getting stifled out, I know you could say you should be fighting out your skin, but maybe he's just been totally disillusioned by it all. I don't know. But realistically, Robson's not going to be that drastic and throw him in on Wednesday, because they paid $1.2 million, I think, for Papi Gyi and Esther Sokler combined, and they have not started a competitive match for Aberdeen since signing this summer. And that's five of the summer signings out of 13 not started a game. So you've got to look at the recruitment before you even think, why is Clarkson out of form and why is he really the only creative player we've got in our team in that position? Because Jim McGrath got plaudits after that Frankfurt game saying, oh, what a free signing, but sometimes he just goes missing. Thursday, I suppose, he was getting up to try support McGrath, but you look at that bench, don't know what you think, John, but you see Ryan Duncan coming on at half-time for Jack McKenzie against Kilmarnock. McKenzie, in my opinion, was a best player, certainly a defender. He had better of, I think, Armstrong in the left back, and then suddenly Duncan comes on and he looks lost. And it's not often I agree with Chris Boyd on commentary, but it was like Duncan didn't know where he was playing, and he's supposed to be a so-called creative player. So I know on paper, because Charlie might look at players on that I'd say on paper the Hibs are good and he'd say that out of form, but on paper for Aberdeen, there's not many I would look to and say, oh yeah, they can change the game at the moment. Other than Miofsky, who, no matter what form Aberdeen's in, it's a bit like Sam Cosgrove was for a while. When Aberdeen weren't playing well, he was scoring a lot of goals. Miofsky's a bit like that. He'll take chances, whereas there's a lot of other players just... And you can't compensate. I think that's Jensen and Gartemann made two mistakes in the last two games. They'd been pretty solid summer signings, and then when they're starting losing that confidence, doesn't breed well, and I just worry that they are going to get turned and something stupid is going to happen in this game on Saturday. But maybe that's my pessimistic side, having watched Aberdeen too much over the last week.
I mean, you're talking about outlaying the squad, and we're talking about Robson saying about having a fresh on the team more. It makes you think that on Wednesday, surely some of these so-called fringe players are going to get a chance. However, at the moment, do you think these fringe players can be counted on?
No, hearing Josh speak at the start of this podcast about Rangers and their recruitment, it sounds so similar. And maybe game for Hearts as well. I'm surprised you saying that you don't think Hearts' squad's good enough, because I compare it with Aberdeen and think Hearts are not night and day, but I think because they've got a lot more players that's been there a while, they're more developed. But it's something strange and fishy about Aberdeen's recruitment, because they made such a hoo-ha about Reece Williams sending from Liverpool, coming from a good pedigree. They made a really good video of him and Leighton Clarkson joining and everything. Robson talked him up. He's not played a game. You've got Oudadia, an Israeli international fullback, who they said, oh, he'll be great for European experience. From Papua Beersheba, who, if you might be saying, play in European competitions, and he's capped by Israel, so he should be no mug, and he's not even been in the first team squad. You've got Papi Gay, who has got a decent enough goal scoring record at his previous club. I think was formerly scouted by Norwich. It's just some really strange things. And then John, you look at Angus McDonald, absolute pivotal part of that defence last season that got Robson that 7 games unbeaten when he was handed the job. And Angus McDonald's nowhere to be seen either. And I don't know, is this WhatsApp rumours and things going around about what's going on in the dressing room, which always happens when a manager's under pressure. But for so many players to be basically cast aside and not used, while he uses the excuse of jadedness, tiredness, not rotating, doesn't add up. Because if you remember correctly, in the summer, Robson said Aberdeen will be the fittest team in the league, and he was putting them on the double and triple training sessions, and said, we will use this squad. We've got two players for each position and we will use it. And we've not seen it at all. And we're now into November nearly. So it's a big red flag for me.
The WhatsApp rumour of a punch-up, I mean, you can count on the fact that no one actually got a punch on target unless it was Miofsky.
Well, only Keller Roos, he's just waiting to be a dad again. So...
I always think it's an absolute red flag if you get like a manager or somebody that comes in and says, you know, that their team's going to be one of the fittest in the league. You know, I don't know. I just always feel like if you need to make a point of saying that your team are going to be really, really fit, or you're going to make all these changes to the physical regime and the physicality, you know, of the team, then there's, I mean, they're professional athletes. They should be fit as fuck anyway, you know. So that's always a red flag for me.
I mean, Robbie, you'll maybe know better than me, but I think there was rumours at the start of the season and pre-season. It was one of your old school pre-seasons where, like, the first things they were doing was getting them to do miles and runs and all that, as opposed to, like, surely you want to get them fucking using the ball, showing them some technical ability.
Yeah, from what I've been told, and this is kind of was what we was discussing in the press box on Thursday after the game, is that Robson was very much just like running these players into the ground rather than actually looking at the tactics and on the training field. And talk about red flags, guys. if your manager said post-match, you can't play the ball, we tried to go over them a lot because you can't play through them. That was basically Robson saying you can't use the Spenksley assembled squad that he's bought to play football against Kilmarnock. And he said the exact same excuse against Livingston, St Mirren, Ross County, even though they won, that you can't play through them. Surely the least of your worries is the opposition when you've got the budget and squad at his disposal. So it's just really bizarre that he's either overthinking it that much, or he's just really stupid in a sense, because I don't think Aberdeen have got a bad squad on paper. He's built a decent enough squad, a very expensive and large squad, because each match day we've got four players, actually six, because we've got Morris and McGarry injured, but six first-team players not even in the squad on a league match day. So that shows these players are maybe on 3-4k a week and not kicking a ball. So you can't say that the chairman is not backed him, but it's how he gets the use of them and maybe the training methods that's got to be questioned. And I think if Aberdeen lose on Wednesday to Motherwell, there'll be seriously questions asked of Robson. And I don't actually think they've went through so many interims since McInnes. I don't actually know who would take the team if Robson was dismissed before Saturday, which I don't think would happen. But if things did get sour at Fir Park, wouldn't be far away from that question being asked.
Yeah. But we had a question from our friends at the Killyview podcast, and they asked if you had to borrow a Killy player for the weekend action, who would it be? Why? Charlie?
Purely because we've got statistically the worst goalie in the league, their goalie, which I can't remember his name off the top of my head. The boy they've got on loan from down south. I'll quickly look it up. But
Will Dennis.
That's the one. Aye.
Yeah. And Bournemouth.
Aye. Marshall's statistically the worst goalie in the league. So I would take Will Dennis and hopefully shut out Aberdeen.
Right, okay. Graham?
Danny Armstrong, without a doubt. He's the best player. Creative, quick, good delivery, can score a goal. Quite happily have Danny Armstrong every day of the week.
Okay. Josh?
Danny Armstrong or Matty Kennedy both can carry the ball, which a lot of our players can't do at the minute. Kyle Vassell seems like a striker. You know, I could do with one of them. Kyle Vassell, I'll go with him.
Oh, Kyle Vassell. Robbie, who would you take out the Killy team?
When I seen that tweet...
We need a place as well.
Yeah, when I seen that tweet, I automatically thought Danny Armstrong, because he was outstanding and he's got in 10 Premiership matches this season, 3 goals and 4 assists, and Aberdeen could do with a winger. But another one, since everyone said it, Armstrong, I thought maybe it was just a one-off game, but I thought Brad Lyons was excellent in the middle of the park as well. Maybe because Aberdeen was so poor in the middle of the park and couldn't dominate, but I thought he was pretty good as well. But if I was going to take anyone, it would have to be Brad Lyons, because I can't say Watkins or Kennedy, surely, after slagging them a lot last season for not really providing anything and then coming back to haunt us, which was quite predictable, to be honest, because it always happens to Aberdeen.
Yeah, it was always going to happen at one of them would score. Fair play to Erin. She did ask, can we borrow your manager for the weekend? They responded, well, their game finishes at quarter five. We can maybe make his way to Hampden. But
might need to.
What's that?
I'm saying he might need to, depending on how tomorrow goes. But might just be demanding on Twitter, get McInnes in. And forgetting conveniently that you went 10 games without scoring a goal. But yeah, we'll forget about that.
Aye. Graham, what's your thoughts in the fight semi-final on Saturday between Hibs and Aberdeen?
I think it's a tough one. On paper, I think Hibs have probably got a slightly stronger squad, and I hate saying that, but I just think the pace of Martin Boyle could be huge on that big pitch. You know, I think Aberdeen have got a lot of really good players. Someone that I really like, actually, is Connor Barron. I think anytime I see that guy, he's really good. And that's why I think I watched kind of the reaction after the game last week against Pauk, where I thought Aberdeen were really good. And the reaction that a lot of folk had to the substitutions that Barry Robson made, which was just praise of the fact that he made those changes when he did. And that kind of affected Aberdeen. Yesterday, Kilmarnock had a decent side at home, but I just think that big pitch is going to suit his attacking players like so Ewan and Boyle with that pace. I think this could go all the way to extra time and penalties.
Oh, cheers.
Hibs maybe winning on penalties.
I mean, Charlie's saying it's going to be a four-goal thriller. They thought Hibs 4 Aberdeen nil go away.
No.
See, it's when you get closer to like these semi-finals, like any confidence you might have, you start going high. But then I've been at Hampden before, and this has happened, that's happened. Josh, how do you think the game will go on Saturday?
It's hard to say. I think Hibs will probably, I think Hibs will probably run over the top of Aberdeen. I think Aberdeen are really poor, like really, really poor. Sorry, Robbie.
No,
I
I
just
agree with you, mate.
I think I just watching, you know, watching that killer game at the weekend. You know, Aberdeen are really poor, and I think Hibs, with the way that they're playing at this moment in time, and this new kind of style of play that they're playing, they're not going to be under the same pressure that they were under against when they played Rangers and they lost 4-0, or even, you know, when they played Celtic at the weekend there and got the 0-0 out of, you know, it was a amazing that they got that nil nil. I don't know how that happened. Because time and time again, Celtic got chances from Hibs's kind of own kind of slack play and unforced errors. But I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be the same. I get a feeling that Hibs are going to run over the top of them.
Right, okay.
It's hard to disagree with that, to be fair, Josh. And considering, yeah, Rubisic has improved. I don't know what Don's opinion on Rubisic is, because I was initially very critical of him. But the last couple of games, he's probably been Aberdeen's best defender, along with McKenzie. But just don't think any of the defenders are mobile enough to deal with that wide-handed pitch. And it comes back to, I know we say just what you said, John, there. Thoughts of previous times at Hampden. The lack of win from the Aberdeen team reminds me of when, I think it was the Hibs foul, the Rory Fallon wonder goal, but Aberdeen lost.
Oh,
Hibs won 2-1,
aye.
was it, Charlie? But we had Rory McArdle and Chris Clark as our fullbacks, I'm pretty sure. And it was just like, there was no attacking intent on the win at all. And for that wide pitch, you should be utilising it. And you didn't in a few similar, because yeah, Povara has popped up with two important goals for Aberdeen when he's coming in big games, but he's can't play wide, and I don't really know. He's a bit like Duncan. I don't really know his best position either. So they've got so many players, but it's like putting square pegs in round holes.
Right, we'll move on to some favourite. We must have some good memories of Hampden. So, Charlie, semi-finals in the League Cup. We'll keep it League Cup specific because just in case Hibs get to the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup, we don't want to double the information. So, favourite memories at Hampden for League Cup semis?
Probably the Rangers one, innit? I think unfortunately I missed that one due to work, so I watched it in a pub in Stirling, full of Rangers fans, the only Hibs fan in the pub, and
Must be fun.
it was like I was at the game. But no, I think that was unbelievable. Nobody seen that coming, especially when Jack Ross was on such a sugary peg. That one, or even I think it was back in the first semi-final I went League Cup at Hampden was when we beat Rangers on penalties in 2003, four maybe. But I just two cracking semi-finals. I think I would have to say that I.
Over yourself, Graham, the Hearts.
Don't
Thoughts
have
here at the
very.
League Cup.
I don't have very, very happy memories of Hampden semi-finals because we've not really been in that many. I think we've been in three in the last 10 years. But The one that kind of sticks out with me wasn't actually at Hampden, it was at Easter Road. We beat Dundee 3-1 back in the 90s. Really, really enjoyable game of football. And we had a guy called Stefan Pai, a French mental case who was really, really enjoyable to watch. And he scored and got man of the match. And I've got vivid memories of him actually getting the bike handed to him on Easter Road pitch, which was quite funny. But yeah, that's probably the best memory I think we've got of semi-finals.
What about yourself, Josh? League Cup semi-finals at Hampden. Any good
League Cup,
memories?
semi-finals. I mean, none that stand out. I suppose the League Cup game at Hampden that really stands out to me is the 2011 League Cup, 2-1 after extra time versus Celtic. Yeah, I mean, just that is one that particularly sticks in my memory. It was the one where Jelovic scores and kind of late into it. And it's the one that kind of clips off the post and then just kind of rolls in. You had Diouf at the end doing the giving it the kind of Scott Brown celebration, all that sort of thing. Aye, that's probably. I mean, if you're talking League Cup at Hampden, that's one that really stands out to me. Bear in mind that we've no won the league. This if we win this League Cup at the first time in well, it'll be the first time since that 2011 one that we've won the League Cup, for various reasons that I'm sure if we had another hour on the show, we could go into.
But to be fair, I mean, you've got to some semi-finals over the last few years, but just not done so well. And then
Well,
you
that's why they're no
in
fucking
the final last
memorable.
year. What's that?
That's why I'm not exactly fucking indulging them, John.
This is a chance to bring everyone like back down. Like you think, start thinking of the good memories. Well, actually, there's not any great ones recently. Robbie, yourself, with the League Cup
I know
semi.
I was trying to jog my memory back to the semi-finals because the only one initially, because I was thinking, when's Aberdeen? What semi-finals have we been to get to that two finals against Celtic, which you both lost since that Inverness one? And the first one I thought was Morton, but that was kind of a team 2-0 win. I wouldn't say that, but the other one, which I actually completely forgot about, was great. Lewis Ferguson header, 78th minute, I think it was, and 1-0 win over Rangers. And yeah, road of luck at times. Umar Sadiq was absolutely awful for Rangers up top that day. I mean, we only had two shots on target, but we won, and it was probably one of the best bounces for an Aberdeen game, because obviously had a lot of good bounces Scotland at Hampden, but for an Aberdeen game, beating Rangers in a semi-final to inflict, I think that was the fifth consecutive semi-final loss at the time. It was brilliant until the actual final came, but when Niall McGinn's corner was met with Lewis Ferguson's head, honestly, I must have went about 10 rows in front. It was that buzzing because just it wasn't expecting it with the way the game was going, and then suddenly Aberdeen take that chance and hold on to win.
Right, okay. As you alluded to earlier, Aberdeen last won in 2014, Rangers 2011, Hibs 2007 by beating Kilmarnock. Was it 5-1?
5-1 it was, aye.
And Graham, I think Hearts last won the League Cup, safe to say, before you were born. 1963.
Yeah.
Hearts won,
Yeah,
Kilmarnock
well before I
Rangers
was
won.
born.
So not quite
We
as bad
should
as what Aberdeen did
have won
there.
it in two, we should have won it in 2013, but we got beat by St Mirren 3-2 in the final. Still raging to this day that we lost that game because we shouldn't have lost it.
Right, okay, we were alluding a wee bit to the pricing for the weekend. Robbie, you've got some figures in terms of supposed sales for Saturday's game. What was it looking at in terms of how many you're expecting?
Well, from what I've seen, Charlie might be able to clarify, but from Aberdeen perspective, when last time I was in the ticket office, there was just over 12,000 sold, and I know for Aberdeen, and I think, to be honest, yeah, everyone says, where's that 44,000? It was that Park Red that day when they won the League Cup, which was unprecedented amount of supporters to see. But I think 12 to 14,000 is Aberdeen's kind of core semi-final attendance. It's a bit disappointing because there's so many games, as you're seeing there, John. They had Kilmarnock away on Sunday, 842 fans there. You've got Motherwell tomorrow, probably same diehards will be. You've got the semi-final, which, as we say, tickets really expensive. We're going to it. So 12,000, maybe get to 13,000 by kickoff is a good effort. I heard Hibs has sold about 11.5. I don't know if Charlie can
we
on that, if that's true, but from what I was saying before we recorded, attendance have around about the less than 25,000, half full Hampden for this game isn't probably a good look, and it probably could have been maybe better priced considering, I'm not sure about the time of year, but the fixture congestion in general and just the way the cost of living is, it probably maybe doesn't help, especially Aberdeen fans either try to get accommodation in Glasgow, or as I've found, it can be hard unless you're in supporters bus to get back to Aberdeen for a 5:15 kickoff, especially if it goes to extra time and penalties, which someone on this podcast alluded to.
What was it, Charlie, in terms of Hib sales?
We're up to 16,000. We just
16,000
another block today. So, which
also, you know, I draw against Celtic must have spurred on some more sales, but I know you're going to go on to it. But when I seen it at the end of last week, people were saying, "Oh, Hibs had not sold as much," and then I'd realised Hibs didn't release their tickets till later. So their fans obviously is later right. Stages.
We were a week behind in releasing
them
for whatever reason, and we also released them to like it's called Hibs First, so I don't know if Aberdeen have it as well, but you get like priority access for your away tickets. But I think the draw with Celtic will definitely have brought a few more, and then hopefully we'll win tomorrow against County, then we'll maybe get up to 17,000. But Hibs generally don't sell that many for semi-finals for whatever reason. Josh, you'll remember a few years ago when we played you in that semi-final, we must have had about 10,000 tickets that day. There was just that wee corner. But you find that the diehards go to Hampden, and when we get to the final, there'll be post after post of people looking for spares when we're sold out. But it just really frustrates me. I don't know if anyone feels the same, but obviously, Josh.
Why do you think that is? I mean, because you're in a semi-final against a team that, you know, you're the favourites to win it, and to get to a final, you know, that just baffles me why.
I think this is my dad's first time at Hampden since Hearts beat us in that cup final 11 years ago. Like, he wasn't at the final in 2016, but he was like, I'll go to this one because, like, you and your brother are going. So I think for a lot of people, it's a defeatist attitude, and it doesn't matter who we play at Hampden, it's like, we'll get beat, so I'm not going to go. But then the minute we get to a final, it's like, I want to go. But it confuses me. I don't know if Aberdeen or Hearts will have the same problem. Like, obviously, with Rangers, you've got a lot of season ticket holders, so not everyone's guaranteed a ticket, but the minute you get to a final, everyone's crawling out the woodwork. Like, we had 150,000 people in that parade when we won the Scottish Cup in 2016. But we're struggling to sell out and end at Hampden on Saturday. So I just don't know. With people, like, a lot of people are saying, but I've done the three European away games. But it's just crazy to me that for a club as big as Hibs, that we can't sell out and end for Hampden.
If there was a semi-final at Murrayfield, many do you think Hibs would take? Not take, but have. Like, does it come down? Because obviously Edinburgh and Glasgow is not that big a distance, right?
No.
I still think you'll get people that won't travel. Just like no day trippers, but the folk that don't go regularly.
Casual fans.
Glasgow probably does play into it, but I think it's a nonsense excuse. Like, I would happily go and, like, if I would happily go to Hampden and watch Hibs. Like, I'd every time I can, I do. You know, it's not. I think as well, the prices will probably put families off, maybe. Like, it's £33 for an adult ticket. Now, I'm fortunate enough to be in a well paid job that I can afford to pay the £33, but I think there's probably a lot of Hibs fans that will really struggle to pay that. And it's probably the same for Aberdeen fans and Hearts fans. Rangers have obviously sold their end out as expected, but and I just think the pricing system as well, when you're looking at how many games every team in this podcast has played so far this season, people will probably pick and choose their games, but in my opinion, everyone should be getting a ticket for Hampden.
Aye, because it used to be, I mean, the Aberdeen thing, it used to be you'd always get a Sunday and maybe kind of 12 o'clock in the morning whereby you're going to get public transport.
Yeah.
This time, there's not that excuse. It's an evening
kickoff. A question for the Aberdeen, for Robbie and John, like, Aberdeen fans always complain about the 12 o'clock, and now I'm seeing Aberdeen fans complain about the 5:15. So what, from an Aberdeen fan's perspective, coming from Aberdeen down to Glasgow for the game, what time would be the best for yous? Like, because for Hibs fans, we are very
2 o'clock.
We're very lucky. We're only like an hour and a half away for most of us. But for Aberdeen, it's like, what, 2-3 hours to get back up the road? Is
yeah, 2.5 at least, maybe more, especially on a match day. Get up to Glasgow and from near Hampden. So
what would be the best?
Getting home till after midnight at least.
Yeah. I mean, if we win, I'll not be getting home till after midnight, but that's for other reasons. But is it a 2 o'clock? Is it 4 o'clock? Or
I think I'm a big fan of traditionally 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Like, obviously Sky, you see that in England, it dictates football now.
Yeah.
And same probably TV dictating this cup semi-finals. But I actually like the idea because obviously the Aberdeen Dundee game, which was postponed because of the weather, it was going to be a 6 o'clock game, and they've trialled that a couple of times and it's been a success. Well, maybe not a success for Aberdeen on the pitch, but in terms of fans have enjoyed getting that kind of whole day out, and then you've got the football at the end. But it is that whole, if you win, I don't think anyone can complain about it.
No.
But for fans, maybe in families, getting home so late, maybe could be an issue. But when you look at it, only one stand of the three Aberdeen have been allocated, and I'm assuming the same for Hibs, includes under-16/over-65s at reduced price. So make a great point that the fact that it would put people off, because who wants to, I've got a ticket for behind the goal because I want to be where the atmosphere is, but you're not seeing much of the game, or not clearly from, you're so far away because of the running track. So in this setup at Hampden, you think, why am I paying so much? For a final, yes, we'd pay it, but semi-finals and when they seem to be, say they're coming on regularly, but these games and big games are constant, with especially Aberdeen at the moment, Hibs has been European football as well. You're getting all these games, and Aberdeen home games for the European games are like £36 in some areas of the stadium, and you think, no wonder the Pulp game wasn't sold out. The semi-final allocation, from what I've heard from the club, they were surprised that they haven't sold more, but and be multiple factors, I think. And personally, to answer your question, I'd say 3 o'clock on a Saturday. But everyone in Aberdeen's a bit like Hibs. I see a lot of good colorations for them, or maybe bad colorations in the support. When things are going well, they'll get a good core support. And they've probably still got a good, maybe 12,000, 13,000 to go every game. But there's a lot of hangers-oners. Like, you've seen the Harkin game, when it was a chance to get to Europa League. Group stages, Aberdeen sold out their like 19,000 tickets, and there was waiting lists for tickets. Loads of people asking me, oh, can you get me a ticket? Can you get me a ticket? People that would never go. So we've got, the next games, they know where to be seen. So it's very like a lot of pick and choosy sort of people who, and from personally, the people I know are like that. I don't think money is an object either. I think it's just the priority. They only want to go when Aberdeen have a chance of getting a sniff of something good, which is not really, in my opinion, a supporter of a football club.
I think on the positive side for our semi-final is that although it's not going to be a sellout, there's a 50-50 split in the way of tickets. You know, I think obviously Rangers have got a massive support, but I think semi-final, final, there should always be a 50-50 split up until a certain point. So I think the SFA got it right. Hour one, maybe not the ticket pricing, because I think it's a bit extortionate for a semi-final. I'd happily pay it for a final, but I think a semi-final should be 25 and maybe 10 for a over 65, under 16.
It should be an option as well. They can sit wherever they want. I don't think if you're, it shouldn't be that if you're under 16, over 65, you need to sit a certain bit. You said about Hibs and like people maybe don't want to go back to Hampden. I think there's quite a lot of Aberdeen fans as well and a bit like that. That he still want to go back due to kind of previous losses Because I would say probably this crowd will be there on Saturday for a semi final will be about what I would take to a semi final generally.
And it's probably the same for Hibs. I think, well, it's took a big upturn from the last one, but for the most part, we very rarely take anywhere over 17K for a semi,
Yeah.
if that.
Graham at Hearts, Hearts sold out their allocation for Sunday.
We were given an initial allocation of 18,000 and we sold 10,000 within our first hour. And then the SFA decided we'll forget to send the rest of the tickets. So we had to wait for them to send the rest of the tickets out. I don't know how many tickets we've sold yet, but I'm pretty convinced that we'll sell that out without any problem. It's a semi-final. You know, fans, no matter how poor the team's been, fans will turn up for a semi-final. So I've got no doubt they'll sell out. But we had to wait for the SFA to send the rest of the tickets out before we could actually sell them out. So I don't know how many we're at just now.
Yeah. Do we think the cost of living currently is playing a part? Run up to Christmas. The final is also before Christmas. So are folk hedging their bets maybe? The likes of Aberdeen and Hibs thinking, well, do I spend now or do I wait and see what happens? Because there could be a final a week
I
before
think
Christmas.
that's the potential problem with Scottish football fans as well, though. It's like I'd rather wait to watch this in a final, but you should be supporting your team through every round of the cup. Like we had Rafe in the first round, and we had 7,000 folk there. We had St Mirren the next round. There was about 11,000, and we only opened two stands plus the away end. Like it's just Hibs fans are probably one of the worst in the country for it. That we only turn up when it's good. Like even on Saturday, we never sold out and we're playing Celtic. Like there was Celtic fans in the Hibs end. Like it just shows you that I just don't understand why Hibs fans are so defeatist and only come out for the big games when we're playing well.
Charlie, would you not be thinking, I've just got to Charlie, obviously you've got a new manager, Nick Montgomery, in there, he's in the semi-final. Would you not be thinking for a new manager, especially if you're turning up for a game at Hampden, your manager must be thinking, why are my fans not turning out for this game? It's a semi-final.
Oh, you're right. I think a couple of years ago when we played Celtic in the League Cup semi, I think we only had like something like 10,000 fans there. Celtic beat us 5-2. And Paul Heckenbaum, who was the manager at the time, said the Hibs fans are only going to this game because they're sick of going to Hampden. And that's not true at all. Like it was just because we were playing so bad that we weren't wanting to go and watch us get embarrassed of Celtic, which evidently happened. But you're right, Graham, that we should be selling that out. Like it's Monty's first opportunity to win a big game at Hampden. Hopefully not his last opportunity to win a big game at Hampden. You know, I'm hoping that we're at Hampden four times a season. But you're right. I think we should have sold this out long before now. Like we were on a good run of form. To be honest, we still are on a good run of form. Take the Rangers game out of it because that was, I sort of expected to lose that one, and I was pleasantly surprised with what happened on Saturday. But we should have sold this out long before now.
Right, shall we move on and finish with a bit of fun?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So we've got four teams, obviously. Let's try and get our 11, best 11 between the four sides. However, I'm trying to think how this will work out because I think we need to try and have it by our buyers, at least two players for each team. Would be fair enough. And it needs to be the fans of the other clubs that would nominate the two players. So Robbie, you can't pick Aberdeen players. Graham, you can't pick Hearts. Josh, you can't pick Rangers players. Charlie, you can't pick Hibs. Right, okay. And we'll see if we can kind of put something together.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's all work. Right, but goalkeeper. Who would you all be nominating? We need to try and think of a legend as well.
Have we got to pick one for the opposite team that we're playing?
No, like. Four, they combined, so the four teams combined.
Jack
I
Butland
can't
for me,
pick.
probably.
Jack
I can't.
Butland, aye.
Jack
I can't
Butland,
pick.
I would say so.
Right, well, just Jack Butland then. How's this working, John?
We'll see how it works, right? But you
Right.
can't nominate Butland because you're a Rangers fan.
Right, okay.
Who would have been nominated out of the three?
What's that?
Who would have Josh nominated out of the three out of curiosity?
Well, I don't know. Who is that? I can't nominate Jack Butland, who's the obvious choice, so I've got to pick one of the other three losers. well, not certainly not David Marshall.
Good choice.
I don't know. Xander Clark.
Well, I'm going to be sort of a 4-3-3 formation. I think I. Right, okay. Yep. Right. This might not go that well. Right back.
James
Tavernier. Right. You said Tavernier, Graham.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Tavernier as well.
Josh,
he's the best right back in the country. right back.
You know the other right backs?
We think here actually. Who's the Hearts right back?
The second best right back plays for Hibs in the country, in my opinion.
Right back just now. That's part of the problems.
Who's Hibs right back? I'm hitting a blank here.
Lewis Miller.
Oh, I probably would go with Lewis Miller. I probably would go with him. He's my fantasy team. Who are the other three? Because who is it? Who is it? Aberdeen, Robbie. Who you got again?
Nicky Devlin, who was Livingston captain last season.
He's not been as good this season, has he? I think he's maybe been. Maybe it's Aberdeen's tactics, but it's looking like he's maybe been found out a wee bit. I'll go with Lewis Miller. I do like Frankie Kent though, but obviously maybe we'll come to him at centre back.
Aye, Charlie.
Have.
Aye. Right. Okay. I'm going to go left back next. Charlie.
Good question. Probably say Ridvan, but I'm no. To be honest with you, I didn't really know many players for Aberdeen or Hearts because I only really pay attention to Hibs. And I know Ridvan's a left back, so.
This is ammunition then. I can come up with a quiz. This will be like Josh when I try
Who plays left back? Who plays left back for Aberdeen?
Jack McKenzie.
Maybe him then. I will go Jack McKenzie then to mix it up a bit.
Josh?
If we're mixing it up, I'd probably go Alec Cochrane.
Graham?
Yeah, I'm going Jack McKenzie. I think he's been really impressive for Aberdeen.
Oh, this could be the first split vote, Robbie.
I was going to go with Alex Cochrane as well for his good performance against Rangers yesterday, left back as well.
All right, okay. Does that mean I've got the deciding decision? I can't nominate McKenzie, so it needs to be Cochrane. That's only fair, isn't it? Right, okay. The centre back thing's going to be a bit different because obviously there's two centre backs, right? But we'll nominate the first centre back, so Josh.
Frankie Kent.
Okay, Robbie.
Connor Goldson.
Graham.
I'm going to go for, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to go for John Souter.
Oh, that's because he used to play for Hearts. Right, this is going to be okay. Charlie.
I'd probably have to say Souter, which pains me to say it.
Right, okay. Souter, who might not even start on Sunday, never played at the weekend, I noticed, Josh.
No, I didn't.
Right, okay. The centre back is a bit awkward, isn't it? Right, okay. The other centre back, Charlie.
Gartenman.
Right, okay. I've still not got an Aberdeen player or a Hibs player. Josh. Oh, and we've got three Rangers players now. So 3, 5, 7, 9. It'll be all right now. Josh, are you nominating?
I think the Aberdeen and the Hibs centre backs are fucking terrible. So I'm going to have to go with another Hearts centre back, and I'll go with
Tetsu on the team.
Eh?
So you can still pick Kent, I suppose.
But did Kent not get in the team? No.
Oh, he's not in the team yet. Sure, he's in the team.
Right, Kent then.
Right. Robbie.
I will go with Kai Rolls just to change it up.
Who are you going with?
I'll go with Kai Rolls some hearts.
Oh, I
Did
don't know if
you play
Graham.
centre back?
Hey, Graham, who are you nominating?
Yeah. Gartman.
Right, so Gartman's in the team, right, okay. Aye, we're going to have the same issue here at centre mid, aren't we? But we'll see how it goes anyway. It's a bit of fun, isn't it? We're having a laugh, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right, Graham, you nominate the first, we'll call it CDM, right? That's maybe a bit easier, right? CDM. Defensive mid, who's your defensive mid from the three teams?
I'm gonna go for, and I know he's not really a centre defence midfielder. I'm gonna go for Joe Newell.
Oh, I like Joe Newell. I'm a big fan of Joe Newell, actually. But I've not got to say unless there's a hun vote. Charlie?
Josh might correct me here, but I think Lundstrom plays defensive mid for Rangers.
Yeah, probably defensive mid, I would say. Aye, more kind of defensive than attacking. It's not, but box to box, but aye, centre defensive mid.
Josh?
I'll probably go Newell and all, actually. He's more of a kind of box to box going forward, but I'll probably go
Aye.
Newell. I think he's a silky player.
Dzeko plays the defensive mid for Hibs, but
Yeah,
Neil's a better player than him.
Robbie.
Neil was the one that stood out for me if I was going to say not Aberdeen by him.
Oh, fuck. Actually, can I change my vote?
Well, you could, but it doesn't matter because.
All right, okay. Oh, I was going to say Graham Shinney.
Aye, because.
Probably go
Well,
with him.
you could still have him
Iniesta
in
is
the
a good
midfield
shout.
somewhere else. We've got three midfielders, so who knows what will happen, right? So Joe Newell's in there, maybe as a CDM or maybe as just a midfielder.
Yep.
Right, Robbie, who's your. Remember, you can still nominate folk who've already been nominated because it's midfielders. So, Robbie, your next nomination.
Would Todd Cantwell count as midfielder, or would he be more that?
That's posy. Good, right?
I'd go with Todd Cantwell if I was picking midfield.
I mean, we're going to end up here with five Rangers players and two from the rest. Is that what's going to happen? Graham?
Conor Barron.
Right, okay. Josh?
Who we got? Joe Newell so far?
Yeah.
Great, Graham Shinney.
Okay, you're sticking with Shinny. Charlie?
I'd probably go Shinney as well.
Right, so Shinny's in there, right? And then third midfielder, so Josh. And then you could be an attacking midfielder, maybe, if you want to make an attacking mid, try and get a bit of balance in the midfield with Shinny and Newell.
Jamie McGrath.
Charlie.
Nico Raskin.
Graham.
Can't well.
Robbie. You can still pick, can't you? Because you already picked them if you want.
I'll pick Cantwell again, yeah, since he missed out to Shinny. Rather
Right,
than
okay.
well,
So
yes.
far.
See if we were going a midfield, right, of Joe Newell, Graham Shinney, and who was the other one we got?
Cantwell.
Todd Cantwell.
No. There was somebody else that was in the running there, right? And Todd Cantwell was sitting on the bench, right? Something's wrong with this podcast.
It's the most defensive team we've picked so far.
Right, so far we've got Jack Butland, Rangers, Tavernier, Rangers, Cochrane, Hearts, Souttar, Rangers, Gartman, Aberdeen, Newell, Hibs, Shinny, Aberdeen, and Cantwell, Rangers. So there's only room for one more Rangers player. Keep that in mind when you're making your
It's all right.
nominations with the
It's
front
fine,
three.
John. We're getting into the strikers area,
Right,
so don't worry. I think we'll be running dry Rangers players soon.
we'll start with our central striker. Josh, who are you nominating?
Cyril Dessers.
No,
I've got his own team.
I nominate anybody, but we're only talking about strikers.
Aye, he plays for every other fucking team. No, do striker, oh, Shankland.
Oh, Robbie.
I was going to say Shanklin as well, but me off scheme, Rob there, tell you. But launch Shanklin for me.
Graham.
Sorry, Robbie. I'll pick my Oscar because I can.
Charlie.
I'm staying true to no picking a Hearts player on the whole team. I'm going Miovski.
And the issue is, I can't pick Miovski.
Oh, fuck's sake.
So it's going to be Shankland.
On, Charlie. No, we've got to do it. Pick Shankland, son. Come on, pick him.
No, I can't. No,
I'll
if
pick
it's a
you.
hundred
I'll
vote,
pick Joe
basically, if
Newell.
it's a hundred vote, I need to put in Shankland then, don't I? Because I can't, as much as I'm neutral here. Right, so Shankland. Aye, right. Right wing, Robbie.
Right wing from I'll probably pick he dives a lot, I don't know. I actually go with Ellie Yuan.
What, Duke?
I know I was thinking Martin Boyle, but I'll go with Ellie Yuan.
You're calling me Yuan and say, oh, right,
Yeah,
okay.
I like Yuan. Every time I watch him, I
Well,
think
he's
he is.
left wing, really, isn't he? But you can put
Yeah.
him right wing, he can play, I suppose, there.
I don't know if his political leanings have anything to do with the team we're picking here, John.
Well, I mean, we'll wait and see what happens. Josh, who are you picking, right wing?
Martin Boyle.
Aye, Graham.
See, I'm trying to be fair with the players that I pick here, so I'm not doing a Charlie. I'm actually going to pick Martin Boyle.
Aye. Charlie.
Nicky Devlin.
Right wing.
I'm
Fuck's sake.
just doing it out of spite
Have
now.
you been at Barry Robson's coaching school?
Well, he's a right midfielder, and that's.
Right, so Martin Boyle is there. Right. Okay. Left wing, Josh.
I just want to go for Ellie Yuan, but I'm struggling to think of somebody else. On his day, I would have said Barry Mackay, to be honest. But he's not been at it all season.
Has he been at the treatment table all season? Is that not even part of the problem?
Pretty
Has
much.
he been injured?
I've been injured for ages, mate.
Right, I thought I th I just thought he's not been. I thought he's not been getting a game. Fuck it, I'll go Ellie Yuan.
Graham.
Well, I know he's not a right winger or a left winger, but I kind of took another hint, so I'm going to go Duke.
Robbie.
Just because he's Josh's favourite player, I think I'll go with Abdelhassima, because looking at FotMob, his last six games he's had a excellent rating, so must be doing fine enough.
Right, okay, Charlie.
Purely because he's on loan from Rangers. I'm joking. I'm ditching the agenda. I'm going Alex Lowry. I think he's class.
Oh, right, okay,
Yay!
we've got a fucking problem here then, haven't we? Because you've all picked somewhere different. Right, how are we going to go work this one? Right, so we had Yuan, we had Lowry, we had Sima, and we had Yuan, Sima, Lowry. Who else did we have?
I said, do it.
Oh, Duke, aye. And I can't obviously pick Duke. You really pick him in this season for me anyway, so. Right. I mean, I
Lowry, Lowry, Lowry.
don't know if it, I mean, this page would say it, but I don't know if you see him after just for the goals this season. But it's Yuan, I like Yuan, but he's a bit like Duke in terms of you don't know what you're going to get from him.
He's hot and cold.
9 goals from 18 games for Sima this season, which is pretty impressive on loan.
Oh, I
But I know
think
we've got a lot of Rangers heavy team, so.
Sima is going to be in there. I mean, the biggest miss is Miovski. Like who? Right. So now that we're just being a fan of your own club, who's the biggest miss from your club, Robbie?
Oh, definitely. Oh, biggest
Biggest
miss
miss
of the
from your
team,
club.
definitely Miovski. He's pivotal to any team. I think he'd walk into Rangers and Celtic and be a goal scorer with the chances that they'd create, and he can take them.
Graham, who's the miss from your team?
It's tough because I like Barry Mackay, but I think it's probably Craig Gordon.
Right, okay. Josh, who's the one that's missing from your team that you think should be there? Based on this season.
I mean, there's several for my team that aren't there that probably would get in ahead of. But, you know, if I was to pick one player. Who we got? Who have I got? Cantwell, Butland and Tavernier?
Your Butland, Suter, Cantwell. Seema.
Seema.
Oh, Tavernier.
Probably Raskan. Raskan or Goldson. I'll go Raskan.
Jolly.
It's hard to pick between Vente and Jago. I think Jago's been our best player since Montgomery came in. Which is strange because he was awful last season, but he's actually played in his position this season.
See, that kind of worked out all right in the end, I think. The whole nominating all that actually did work all right.
It worked all right, John. I think it's got a bit of refining to do, but it worked all right.
Get the team up on Twitter and see what people say about it.
Those
graphics.
Yep, I'll get on the old pick your 11 type thing. Try and do that and see if folk can come up with a better 11. Obviously, they'll have the benefit. They can just do it themselves as opposed to having the four of you and then me making some deciding votes. Right, okay. So, what's the final going to be? Robert?
Aberdeen versus Hearts. Aberdeen have got to somehow channel a European form, and Robson will learn the fifth time of asking for his tactics and substitutions, and they'll narrowly win, maybe even extra time, but they'll get through to the final. And I think Hearts might just surprise Rangers. But it maybe go all the way. I think both games are going to go all the way. I really do.
Josh?
The final will be Hibs-Rangers, and hopefully Rangers will win the final.
Aye, well, we'll save that for the final preview, won't we, and all that, if you're there.
Yeah, the final, in my opinion, will be Hibs-Rangers. I think Rangers have got the measure of Hearts. I think we will. I must say it'll be easy, but I think we will beat Hearts to get into the final. And as I said previously, I think Hibs will roll over Aberdeen.
Who's your match winner?
For Sunday?
Aye.
Who's getting the goal?
Who's your match winner? Who's your who's going to be the man?
Sam Lammers.
Oh, after you've he's going to be listening to this podcast.
Yes. He's going to listen to this podcast, and then he's going to every night this week until Sunday. He's going to go out and do 200 shots in training. You know, just shooting training every single night to try and, because I dare say he might, if he does 200 shots each night. Right, what is it, Monday? So he could get maybe like 1,200 in before Sunday. He might actually hit the target with one of them.
Maybe, aye. Sorry, Robbie, who was your match winner? Daft ask.
You know what? I think Esther Sockler off the bench, I'm saying it's got to go all the way to extra time. It happened against Ross County in the Cup. Esther Sockler scored the winner. And I think he could become a cult hero. He hasn't had much game time, but Esther Sockler is my man to defeat Hibs.
Okay. Graham, what's it going to be, final?
Well, I've got to back my team. So it's going to be, I think everyone's in this, it's going to be a Hearts-Hibs final, and I'm going to spend weeks in the build-up to this, absolutely shitting myself, only to hope we win 5-1 again.
Right. Match winner for Hearts?
It's too easy to say Shanklin, so I'm going to say Kenny Vargas to get his first goal.
Right, okay. Last but not least, Charlie, is it going to be an Edinburgh derby for you or something different?
I very much hope not. I'm going to go Hibs Rangers.
And who's your match winner?
Depends which goal you're asking, mate, because I think we'll win 3-0.
It's going to be a 4-goal thriller, Charlie.
Cancel my bus now, Charlie.
3-1 Aberdeen will score a late consolation. I think The actual match winner for Hibs, I would love it to be someone that, I would love it to be someone like Rocky, but I think it'll be Dylan Venti. I think he'll score the all important goal to take us to a final.
Okay. Well, I'd like to wish everyone best of luck, but I don't mean that. I only mean that to Robbie, obviously. I don't really care what happens in the last semi final. Really. But I think there will be two good semi finals, hopefully. Let's hope the pitch holds out as well in both games. So I think that is us for the evening. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for hosting, John. Cheers.
Thanks.
Again.
Thanks for having me back on, John.
And, John. Happy football.
Happy football.